from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We'll get back to the phones here in just a second. So a couple things, BT. First, so the first year that the Jets won the postseason, you mentioned it, they played the Bengals in that first game. Then they went to San Diego in one of the more stunning sporting events that I can remember. There were big dogs in that game. I would have bet anything that the Jets were going to lose that game, but they ended up beating the then San Diego Chargers, and then they lost to the Colts in the AFC Championship game. The next year,
I think Dustin Keller had a big touchdown in that Chargers game where Sanchez rolled out to his right. If that's the same game, I believe it is, because they played the Chargers a couple of times, I think in 04 as well. But Keller, Sanchez rolled out to his right, and it was like an unscripted broken play, and Keller was free by the pylon. Oh, man.
And then the year after, and this was the game that I was talking about before, Braylon Edwards, I thought, made a big catch to clinch that game, the wild card game in Indianapolis.
Okay.
So they went at Indianapolis in the playoff game. Then New England, the Bart Scott can't wait, and then
the Steelers.
And
the Colts game. I'm sorry, God, you can set things up. Go for it.
Well, I was just gonna say those two separate years that they played. The Colts obviously won the championship game, and then the game the next year in the wild card. Now I have three things before we say goodbye that I want to get to.
Say goodbye.
Over the course of the hour. No, we get three different topics that we'll hit throughout the course of the hour. I'm gonna give you the choice which one you want to go with now. Do you want the little Jets thing to throw out there and then get back to the Colts?
Little Jets thing. Keep going.
Do you want the Pete Rose conversation off of the show that we both watch?
Pete Rose, go ahead.
Or do you want something that pertains to Boomer Esiason and the New York Yankees?
Boomer and the Yankees?
Yes. And you.
And me?
A little bit. Yeah. There's three topics. We're going to get to all three of them.
Boomer and the Yankees and me.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's the one we want to get to here, and then we'll get back to the calls.
I was just
scrolling through, during the break, scrolling through Instagram, and I see WFAN's Instagram account tweeting, one of the quotes from Boomer Esiason. It's total BS. How many World Series did the Dodgers have? And this is on top of a big picture of Hal Steinbrenner with the comment underneath saying, Boomer sounds off on the idea that Yankees ownership isn't pushing hard to end their title drought.
He's saying that they are pushing hard or that they're not?
He says he sounds off on people who fight that. Oh. Boomer sounds off on the idea that the Yankees ownership isn't pushing hard.
So indirectly, Boomer is disagreeing with my take.
What you said to Cashman, correct.
Well, good for Boomer. What do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to respond.
Respond to what? His opinion?
Yeah.
What do you want? Give me an exact quote from Boomer and I'll give you an opinion.
Well, I mean, I gave you the quote.
If the quote's something like,
he said it's
Tierney's interview with Cashman, which he would never do. I mean, I guarantee. Well, I mean, he might have. I don't think he brought me up by name. I mean,
he could have. I don't know.
And by the way, Brew was wrong.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear.
Well, of course. I know what you tried to do.
No, he's just saying, I just saw this and I was like, okay. It's an indirect response to your direct question and your issue with Cashman yesterday.
Game. Go ahead.
All it says here, again, I didn't hear it and I didn't read the whole thing. All it says here from what I can see, it's total BS.
Total BS.
How many World Series do the Dodgers have?
Okay.
So in isolation, you wouldn't know what that means. But then the quote underneath, not quote, but the comment from our digital team, Boomer sounds off on the idea that Yankees ownership isn't pushing hard enough to end their title drought. So Boomer says that the Yankees are doing or pushing hard.
Yeah. And I love Boomer. And Boomer's wrong.
Right. And I actually, like, I'm kind of in between on it because I do agree that they could push even harder. But when I was listening to you and Cashman have that exchange yesterday, I understood where he was coming from as well. Like, we're holding them to a ridiculously high standard.
We're holding them to their standard.
Correct, the Yankees.
Okay. It's, right. You know, if we're sitting here holding the Knicks to the Celtics standard. That's a bit of a, or St. John's to UConn. That's a problem. We're holding the Yankee standard to the Yankees.
Which is why I understand where you're coming from. Yeah. And by the way, for me, that's what I'm trying to hold the Mets to. I know that they're not there, but.
Yeah, which is what I respect.
Same thing
I
you
love
do with
that
the
you
Jets.
Do that.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not going to be a loser forever. Yeah, but I might be, but I'm not going to accept it.
I'm not accepting this second city, this second little brother thing. No way. So I agree with you that they could always, and certainly in years past, could have done more. And even this trade deadline could have done more. But I also understand what Boomer is saying to a certain extent, and more so what Cashman was saying yesterday. Like, come on, look at what we do in comparison to everybody else. Now, is it the disparity that it used to be, mm-hmm. where the Yankees went far and above, whether it's just payroll, whether it's trade deadline stuff, the Yankees always used to get all of the best players. When they were available, the Yankees offered the most money, they got the best players. All of them. Trades, Yankees got them. It happened forever. And I know this because it drove me up a wall as somebody who hated the Yankees back then. Now, it's not like that, where the Padres go all in or the Dodgers go all in, and there's more of a balance. Look at the payroll. The payroll is not the Yankees buy $20 million over the next team. They're not even the top team anymore. The Mets are.
Well, the Yankees are too, though.
Yeah. Okay.
The Yankees spend money, but I don't think that's always commensurate with being all in.
Agreed. But the point is, the Yankees used to be number one by a margin.
True.
Now they're not even number one. It doesn't mean that they can't win, but it just shows you that they set the expectations that maybe aren't realistic to sustain, certainly in today's model of Major League Baseball.
Well, listen, here's what I think about this. I think that, and I said this to Cash yesterday.
Right.
I said, listen, I know that you want to win. I know that Hal wants to win. The difference is they're not obsessed with winning the way they used to be. Because if they were obsessed with winning, their tolerance for a lack of performance in multiple areas would not be accepted. And what I mean by that is they would have had a new manager. They would have gotten rid of Hicks earlier. They would have gotten rid of Gallo earlier. They would have jettisoned DJ LeMahieu. They would have sent Gleyber Torres packing. I mean, these are all things that would have happened
right.
if they were upset. Again, I know that they want to win, and they put a lot of resources where I want to be fair to the Yankees. I'm trying to be unfair. They put a lot of resources in the middle of the table to attempt to win and to increase the odds of them winning. But there's a delineation between how they used to do it and how they now do it.
Agreed, 100%. That's it. And one of the things, and again, I'm not saying Cashman was lying, but one of the things I had a tough time buying from what he said yesterday, and we do appreciate his transparency, and I thought he was very good. It was a fun interview. In case you missed it, check it out. Free Odyssey app. Go back, listen to the podcast version. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere, whatever. But when he said that Hal is impatient, and I forget the exact words that he said, but basically insinuating that he's just like his father used to be.
Yeah.
I just don't buy it.
It's not even close.
Now, by the way, it may be for the benefit of the team that he's not the way that his father was, who at times could be reckless, as we know.
Yeah.
But the actions speak louder than Cashman's words. Like, I'm not trying to knock Hal. And like I said, it could be a good thing that he's not exactly like his father. I'm sure he doesn't like losing, but his father couldn't stand losing. And if his father's teams got swept the way the Yankees did to the Mets in the embarrassing fashion that it was, heads would have rolled. I mean, those are facts.
That's it.
And that's just not our opinion. We talk to people that played and managed for George Steinbrenner. Like, it wouldn't have gone accepted. Right or wrong, moves would have been made. And yet with the Yankees, moves weren't made in current day. So I'm not saying Hal accepts the losing more.
And he doesn't like it for sure.
Right, but it's certainly not to the level of his father.
And to position it that way is misleading and not accurate. It's just not.
Right.
Now, I look at it this way too. So right or wrong, and there were, you know, we talk about George, we do embellish the negative, kind of gloss over it, and oh, George was the best. George was a colossal pain in the ass.
Right.
And for the first 7, 8, 9 years of my true Yankee fandom. I couldn't stand him. Like, he was a detriment. I thought he was a bad owner. He was petulant. And he bothered me, right? Because, again, I missed the championships in 77, 78. So I was there with the remnants of Crazy George without the results. Now, he fired Billy, what, 3 times? 4? Whatever it was. And that's his team. It's his prerogative. But he fired Billy repeatedly, and Billy won championships. And this, listen, I like Aaron Boone, but the reality of it is this. Aaron Boone, no Yankee manager has ever had this length of employment without winning, let alone getting to the World Series. So right there, that tells you a stark difference. You know, George, he fired guys who did win World Series, and Hal has not moved on from people who have even gotten there.
And it doesn't mean that one is right and the other is wrong.
True.
What it does mean, and it plays into the Daniel Jones conversation, it's a different world in sports. It plays into the prospects at the deadline conversation. It's worse for us. Like, I'd much rather have, you know, I'm not trying to take people's jobs away. You're talking about, like, Boone getting fired. But when, if George Steinbrenner fired Billy Martin 3 times, like, think about what that would do for talk radio.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Or just knowing that at any moment,
yeah,
he could, you know, heads are going to roll, like, it makes it fun. Sports fans want that. We're irrational. We understand that, but that's how we are. We're irrational. It may not be logical and practical. And sometimes teams, owners, or managers would follow suit or be, you know, make knee-jerk reactions, sometimes to the detriment, sometimes for the betterment of their franchise. Now it seems like everybody's too smart for their own good and are ultimately patient and waiting out the prospects and waiting out a manager or waiting out a quarterback. I'm not saying it's wrong,
yeah,
but it's a lot less fun for a sports fan.
A little bit. It's more complicated in so many different ways as well. When you step away from the boundaries of competition, there's so many things that have seeped into sport that kind of deprives us of the enjoyment, unfortunately, over the years. But let's even take Ohtani and Yamamoto. Now, I defended the Yankees' offer. Now, it was a little bit less in totality than the Mets and the Dodgers. Right. Mets were in Dodgers 325, right?
Yeah.
But the thing that because you and I were going back
for
and forth for a long time. Yeah. The Yankees did have the highest AAV, so they can hang their hats on that. Okay, they didn't get him. And I don't know for sure if George would have gotten him, but I think that George's offer would have been so far and away better than the others. Same with Ohtani in an attempt to lure him here. And that's when we talked about it.
Same with Judge or potentially Soto.
Yeah.
Like the Yankees, I still can't believe it. I mentioned it to Cashman yesterday. The Yankees did not have the highest offer for Judge. You think George would have ever let that happen? Now, to Hal's credit, he got the job done, you know, with that phone call from Italy, all that stuff, but it wouldn't have even been a question.
Yeah.
And do you think right now I would have been saying or even still feeling like the Mets are going to get Juan Soto had George been the owner? Absolutely not.
There's no way. Do you think that Josh Donaldson would have been run out there repeatedly?
No way.
Do you think that Gleyber Torres would still be this confounding, you know, intermittently locked in ball player at the age of 20?
He'd
be gone.
Now we shouldn't just accentuate, you know, the ones that favor George, like those would have been, he wouldn't have held on to those guys. But I'm sure there would have been instances where maybe Volpe would have been traded. And you wouldn't have had that possibility of having him develop.
Keep in mind, Ken Griffey Jr. didn't want to come here.
Right.
Because of the way George treated, not treated his dad, but, you know, you saw the documentary where Griffey wasn't allowed on the field and Greg Nettles, his son, was allowed on the field.
Right.
And, you know, so Griffey always harbored resentment towards the Yankees. If George was different, then maybe Griffey would have been a Yankee. That's why the way we romanticize George's years, it's really ludicrous. He is the most complex, compelling, incredible, and infuriating all rolled into one figure, I think, in the history of New York sports, George. And Hal is more predictable, which is good in some regards, steady, dependable, emotionally dependable. But there's that spontaneity that we do miss, and that element of the zaniness or this unpredictability that kept us on edge that made George George. But now listen, the Cashman stuff was awesome. I thought it was really good. But listen, I mean, Brian's got his story. We have ours. That's all there is to it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Greg is in Manhattan. What's up, Greg?
Hey, how you doing, guys? First time, long time. I just wanted to say, I think it's a great discussion, but 40, 50 years watching the Yankees, I would just say, little different take. Great organizations, great companies, great businesses, great sports franchises find a way to adapt in the environment they're in. And I completely disagree with that. Well, it's a different world today. I don't agree with that at all. Steinbrenner won in the era he's in, and great teams find an era to win currently now. So I completely disagree with this.
Listen, Chris, hold on. No, let's have a conversation. You could disagree all you want, and I respect that. And part of your disagreement's accurate. Part of it is wildly off base, because what did George win in 82 or 83 or 84, 85, 86? Nothing up until 1995, when at the mercy of the baseball gods, they created the wild card. So let's not conveniently, again, 77, 78, getting there in 76, getting there in 81. There was 15 years where he did nothing.
Also, with his suspension, allowed Stick Michael to operate the way you need to
thank
build
God.
A team that could
thank God he got suspended.
Right.
Do you think there's the same sense of urgency today as it was 25 years ago?
No, and that's what I said to Brian Cashman. No, I don't.
That's what we're just talking about.
I don't.
But it doesn't mean that it's the wrong way. You know, and also with the expanded postseason, Greg, and thank you for the call. And that's why I'm being honest with you. Live on the air, like I mean, I don't know what to think anymore. I believed a certain thing for years and try to stand to that. My core beliefs as a sports fan, as it pertains to all sports, baseball, trade deadline, prospects, football, building inside out, don't chase stars. I don't know what to think anymore. Quarterbacks making a decisive decision on them within a reasonable time period. And yet everything's changing. It's changing. By the way, it's not just the model of operation from these organizations in different sports. It's the landscape of the sports, expanded postseasons and salary caps. And like all that changes how teams make a decision. Also the sensitive world that we live in, and you need a player's coach and a player's manager, and you can't get on these guys anymore. You can't be tough on them.
Pitch counts.
You got to coddle them. Pitch counts. Here's my fundamental major issue with sports today. There is a lack, and this is very simple, cut and dry. There is a lack of prioritizing winning now. Whether that is in the game that takes place today, meaning the starting pitcher that you decide is starting that game is on a pitch count or an innings limit, whether you want to pull him to preserve him from getting hurt for years down the road, that is lacking prioritizing winning now. Whether it is not going all in for a quarterback, because you don't want to give up the future picks that you might need in the future to take a quarterback, or you're afraid to take a chance, or you might want to see how Daniel Jones can look. You're not prioritizing winning now. And those are just two examples. Obviously, the trade deadline, the Mets, great. They're in it. They're six games over 500, right there in the wild card spot. But they don't really fully believe in this team, and the price was too steep, and they didn't want to give up their top 20 prospects, so they sacrifice being better now for potentially being better in the future. Guys in the NBA are resting night in, night out. They're not prioritizing winning the game tonight, but they're preserving those players to win bigger in the postseason. It's just sports should be about winning. You play these games to win now. Right? And it's not about that anymore. It's about the future. It's kicking the can down the road. It's okay, forget about today. We'll try to get by today, but we're going to be in a better position tomorrow.
We got 9 first-round picks.
Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean?
We're going to tank.
That's my...
I got more for you, by the way.
Go ahead.
Because I
want to hear your part of it
you.
Then. Good.
I mean, does anybody enjoy college sports anymore? Does anybody? Hey, how's so-and-so going to be next year? I don't know. I have no idea who's back on their roster, because they all quit when times got tough and they left the campus. So you got 9 new kids coming in. Don't know. Are they going to be awesome? Are they going to be terrible? No idea. So it's like, it has changed a lot, my friend. And I have a little advice for you.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
Well, I'm trying to.
I know, though, and I respect that.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll hate it. Because the changes that have gone on with sports have rendered it largely unrecognizable to us who have been around for a little bit.
You know, and with the Mets specifically, because as you say, like, embrace it, otherwise you're going to hate it. And you're right. And that's why I'm trying to evolve. That's why I'm being open on the air about this. Like, I'm not...
I knew you came in today with something on your chest. Sal was... Well,
okay, so
grumpy Sal, so, fiery Sal, cathartic Sal now.
I did accept and lower my expectations. I accepted the Mets offseason. Right? I gave them the benefit of the doubt. You said, oh, they should go get this guy, Bellinger, whoever it was. I was like, now's not
Chapman,
the time to do that.
I was thrown out there.
So I was fine. I didn't like it, but I was fine with not going all into the offseason. I accepted it. And then we saw the season play out the way that it did. And you get to a point where, in the now, this team has as good a chance as anybody else. Are they as good as anybody else? No. But they have as good a chance because it could be a playoff team. And then, even with seeing that, you don't go for it. That's what really bothers me. Like, that's crossing a line. And if you're not going to then go for it because you truly don't believe in this team, then the smart thing would have been to sell.
Don't half-ass it.
Correct. Take advantage of a seller's market
Strip
and say,
down.
We're not ready. Mm-hmm. Take Severino. Take Quintana. Take this guy. That would have been the right thing to do. And instead, I don't know who they think they're fooling, but they're not fooling anybody. Instead, they halfway it, and I just don't believe in that.
So it sounds... as if you have come to terms here that your king has acted a little peasant-like.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is another thing. Before we break, and we'll come back, and I still get those two things that I want to get to, the Jets thing and the Pete Rose thing, and of course, we'll get back to the calls. On Monday, or whenever it was last week, that we found out we're going to be filling in for Evan and Tiki on afternoons, and I knew we were going to be on SNY, I had it all planned out because I started to believe the Mets were going to go big, and I was going to show up in here with the cape.
Suited up like
the
royalty.
The crown, the scepter. Yeah. I was going to come in with a king.
Like, Carly Race.
Correct. Mm. And
what happened?
What happened was they didn't deliver. He did not deliver. Mm. They came up with Blackburn. That's not a king.
Who, by the way, is pitching the tomorrow.
Yeah. So then, and whatever, he may be fine.
Yeah,
I got you. But the king thing, and we talked about this before in the offseason, that's on ice. I'm not even going to joke and bring it up anymore. The king music, the king Cohen references, those are on ice. Not officially retired, not dead yet. But they're on ice until the offseason.
So Stevie P
is back in action.
The philanthropist is back in the house.
I'm giving you that one. Because I did give you that, but then we joke around. I can't even joke about it. Yeah, I can't even do it.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
He's got to do a little something to earn that. It's quiet. All right, good stuff there, Sal. We'll get to the P-Row stuff.
Manning takes the knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Fernando is in Tom's River. What's up, Fernando?
Drew Lock is the week one starter, correct?
No, that's not true. No.
Oh, because I remember in the first episode of Hard Knocks, when they signed Drew Lock, Mara said that he was the number one until Daniel Jones comes back.
No.
Well, okay.
Hey, I mean, so he could have, by the way, Fernando, he could be, but that's definitely not true now.
But Jones is back. So I don't know what you mean. Like, Jones is back.
Full go, so he's cleared for week one.
According to what I know, I mean...
I don't think he's got any restrictions, but it's August 1st. I mean, there's a ways to go. I believe he's on the path to start week one. I don't think... Listen, there's nothing set in stone is what
he's
saying.
He's taking first-team reps in practice. Like, there's no... There's no.
I guess what my hypothetical is going to be, right? Okay, let's shift it then, all right? So, one and two, we got the Vikings, you got the Commanders, you got the Browns, and then week four in the first quarter of the season, we got the Cowboys. Is there any way that Dable shifts to Locke? Jones comes out week one, bad interception in the red zone. You know, how quickly
there's
do
no
we go to Locke?
There's no way they're pulling him after that. There's no way. There's no way, Fernando. I'm not saying that I'm averse to, at some point, giving Drew Locke a look if, you know, Jones is wobbly and the Giants are sputtering or whatever, but it's not going to be that kind of a hook, I could promise you that. And nor should it be. That's ridiculous.
Come on, Fernando. That's a call for week five or six.
Here we go.
Not August 1st. I am looking forward to those type calls, BT, but it is a little early for that. All right, so two more things I want to get to before we get back to the calls. We got a lot of calls. We'll get to you, I promise. But two more topics we've been teasing that I want to get to. The Pete Rose special that's on HBO or the Jets. One last thing on the Jets. What do you want to do here?
Get the Jets thing out of the way fast.
Tristan Wirfs signed a big extension
today.
And when we talk about Joe Douglas and his failures, we mostly talk about missing big on Zach Wilson. However, taking Mekhi Becton over Tristan Wirfs was just as big of a mistake from Joe Douglas, a guy who's an offensive line guy. He prides himself on rebuilding that offensive line. He had a chance there to change the outlook of the Jets franchise. If he picked right, he chose Mekhi Becton. And Tristan Wirfs has turned out to be the significantly better player. Joe Douglas should get ripped more for that one. It's easy to say Zach Wilson, quarterback, lazy, whatever top pick.
Yep.
But that was a bad one with Mekhi Becton.
That was a bad one. God, that was a really bad.
That's he took Becton 11, Wirfs
Giants
13.
Giants took Thomas that year,
yes. Yes, number four.
That was Tua. That was Herbert back-to-back.
Yep.
Who else? I think Isaiah Simmons went to the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
Eighth, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, a lot of these guys.
Right?
But still, point is, he wanted a lineman. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of times you could say, well, you didn't know this guy was going to be that, or they hit on a late-round pick. Sure, I mean, Justin Jefferson also went 22 in that draft, but the Jets were looking CeeDee Lamb went a little bit later than that.
Yeah, wow.
But and by the way, you could look at Denver and say, well, Denver screwed up because they took Jerry Jeudy as a receiver at 15, as opposed to taking Justin Jefferson or even CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb went 17.
How about Henry Ruggs with the Raiders?
Talk about screwing up.
Yeah, no.
They screwed that one up, and then obviously Ruggs has had some major issues with it.
Yep.
But point is, we focus on the Jets, and they wanted the linemen. They had a choice between Wirfs and Becton, and Joe Douglas chose Becton. He got it wrong.
All right.
It's a big whiff.
I don't just defend Joe blindly. I don't do that. But, you know, I've got to refer to the tape. When Mekhi Becton first showed up, he was destroying people. Then he ripped up his knee, and then he put weight on.
Yeah, but don't you think that some of that is his work ethic?
I do, but I probably,
they should know that though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it was a home run pick, but it's not like they drafted a scrub. Like Mekhi Becton was garnering, you know, universal praise from guys who grade the offensive line.
Understood, but the difference is you have to hit on those. Like, Zach Wilson was getting praise from a lot of people, too.
No. But the praise for Zach was never justified. Like, the praise was never, wow, look at Zach, you know, reading this and seeing that. It was, all right, in shorts, he can throw it 70 yards, and he's pretty quick, so he's twitchy, so maybe he'll be good. That's very different praise than actually watching Mekhi Becton get to the second level and destroy linebackers, which he was doing.
Before Zach ever set foot on a football field in the NFL, they were saying he's the next Patrick Mahomes or had similarities to Mahomes. So it's not, I just can't, and I'm not trying to bring in Zach back to the conversation again or show how absurd that is. My point is, every draft pick that is getting selected in the first round, people are high on. It is the general manager's and organization's job to figure out which guys are going to stick for whatever reason. Could be motor, could be heart, desire, will, physical health, all those different things. The Jets chose wrongly.
Like, all right, let me give you an example. They did. They chose
right.
Yeah, they didn't get it right. Let's take Evan Neal.
Yeah.
All right? So, Evan Neal, I mean, he's just...
Right. He's a bust. Yo, I mean, can we say that or not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's very good at all. I don't love his attitude. I don't think he's very good.
Right.
Hopefully, he proves us wrong. He's running out of time. But let's just say... So, Evan Neal has not put anything really good on tape. He just doesn't look like a good player.
Yeah. We're back then when he was healthy.
Yeah, so think about this. Like, imagine if instead of, like, Evan Neal, it was the exact same path as Becton with the Jets. Like, and we're not sitting here saying Neal's a bust. We're sitting here saying, Neal's been unlucky with injuries, and now he's put on weight that he can't shed, and it's really impacted his trajectory. Like, Joe Douglas didn't misidentify a player. He identified a stud, then he got some bad luck. Giants drafted the wrong guy. There's a difference.
Understood, but Joe Douglas didn't draft the right guy with the heart or the desire.
Yeah.
Just based on tape, sure.
I'm but not pushing you,
you
back
gotta,
on that
You got to figure out if the guy's got the desire, and clearly Becton did not have the desire. All right, let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Kevin is in Middletown. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, what's up, fellas? So I was at the Giants practice today.
Oh, okay.
And I took my boys down there. Danny Jones was in sync with Neighbors. He hit him for a 50-yard TD. Oh, Neighbors put a nice double move, had 10 yards of separation.
Kevin. Kevin.
Let the man have his moment with his son.
No, you can
I
give
got
your,
some more for you.
I don't want to hear any play-by-play of training camp. Please.
I know.
You can give me your opinion on Jones and on Neighbors. I don't need the breakdown because it means absolutely nothing what they're doing in preseason here or training camp.
Well, it looked very nice, but I got three great bets to you. I got now for the over/under 6.5 wins. Hammer that over. That is. They're going to get 8 wins guaranteed.
I think I'm with you, Kevin. That's disrespectful to Dable. I'm going to take the over on it. I'm with you there. I would take the over on that. But go ahead.
And now with Jones, take a look at his season yards. It's like 29. It's low, very low for his yards for the season.
Yeah.
And comeback player of the year. Comeback player of the year.
Oh my God. I mean.
Oh, based on what, though? Based on your hope? What do you mean comeback player of the year?
Based on we have Neighbors. We have Hylett, who also caught a 30-yard touchdown today.
Oh, here we go. Don't give the play-by-play.
We upgrade.
Come on,
well,
Kev.
That O-line was horrible last year.
Did he hand off the ball today? How were the handoffs looking?
How many false starts did Evan Neal have?
No, Singletary looked good. Looking good.
Oh, good.
He had the red sneakers on. He looked explosive.
Oh, what else we got? How was Thibodeau and Burns? Did they get to the quarterback today? How was that looking?
Yes, he did throw an interception, Jones. He did.
Oh, okay. Well,
Kev, don't play the game.
What about
He's
the nickel packages?
On,
how was the nickel packages looking for the Giants?
I know. I wasn't critiquing every single thing there.
Don't apologize,
I'm excited, man. I'm excited, Jones.
No, excited
don't
is different.
It's August 1st.
You
Malik
should
Neighbors
be.
Was lighting people up. You let everybody know that Malik Neighbors was balling. I'm with him.
You should be excited, Kevin. Nobody's saying you can't be excited.
Oh, my goodness. What, his 9-year-old son? You're making miserable for him.
No, he's putting stock in it. Like, you want to be excited about it, that's fine. You can't put stock in what they're doing. Oh, he threw a beautiful 50-yard pass to Neighbors. I mean, that's great. You know, Singletary looked good. Oh, my God. Guys, I'm telling you. Now, different taking your son there. You want to go have fun and get excited about the season. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that because you should do that. That's what being a fan is all about. But do not put stock in what they're doing in training camp.
I hope that young man is still in the car. And I want him to understand that his pops, that's the attitude to have. Not your attitude.
Oh, what's my attitude?
Negativity.
It's not negativity. It's great. It just means nothing.
But a guy, it's August 1st. Yeah. He calls up. He's pumped about Malik Neighbors, who, by the way, everybody thinks is going to be a star.
Right.
Everybody does.
Right.
I did before draft.
Right.
Everybody's saying this kid is the next ticket. Superstar. And he's getting a little giddy, and Sal's like, basically making fun of him.
No, it has nothing to do with Malik Neighbors.
Come on.
He's talking about why would you put any stock in it?
What was that?
Oh, well, how many touchdowns?
Odell
Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. was great before the games. Remember when Odell Beckham Jr. used to make those one-handed catches in the back of the end zone in pregame warm-ups?
Yeah.
Remember when Odell Beckham Jr. used to catch a ball out of bounds and people were, or Aaron Judge in batting practice. Did you see that? Aaron Judge just hit one 450 feet. I'm like, yeah, in batting practice. Now, when Judge does it in a game, which he does every single night, that's something to get excited about. When Odell Beckham Jr. made a catch in a game that counted, that's what you get excited about. Not what he's doing in warm-ups.
Hold on. You're conflating everything here because we didn't start the Odell hype until he, like, to that level, until he made the one-handed grab in a game against Dallas.
Now, there was Odell hype before.
No, that's where it started. Right. And because then he
But that was a great catch that counted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's where he reacted. That, then they started showing the one-handed grabs during warm-ups, and that's where, okay.
Oh, yeah.
But it started with an in-game catch.
But warm-up catches don't mean anything. Just like training camp, it doesn't mean anything. Like, what were Rodgers' numbers on the day today? Ooh, he was 9 of 9? Oh, how many checkdowns did he have? Ooh, did he hit the tight end? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Huff.
Come on here with this.
Huff.
Enough.
Come on, Huff.
But Huff's not breaking it down. And these people on social media giving us a breakdown of every play that happens. I don't care. We care. Teams don't even care about the regular season games anymore. They kick the can down. I'm supposed to get excited about training camp?
That's when
you should be not caring about stuff. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, finish up on the phone.
You are one of a kind, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We'll get into Pete Rose stuff. Speaking of one of a kind, I can't wait to talk about this with you. We've both now seen all the episodes. I've been waiting to talk about this with you. We'll do it when we come back.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the fan. We're going to finish up strong here on the phones. I want to get them all in if we can. Real quick, BT. I watched that Pete Rose documentary on HBO. It's a 4-part series. You know, each episode's about an hour. I was fascinated by it. I loved going back in the history of it. You know, the Pete starting his career, homegrown kid, Cincinnati, leaving to go to Philadelphia. But the bottom line is, and people want to know, you know, or people have their opinion, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Should he be banned from baseball for life? I will say I do, and I did notice you have a little cameo in the 4th episode there. It was funny. You and Tiki were in there, which was pretty cool. I love Pete Rose, the player. Matter of fact, I went to Cincinnati, my first trip there. I took my wife, one of her first trips after we got, it might have been before we got married. Went to Cincinnati. I wanted to see that ballpark. I went on Pete Rose Day where they unveiled the statue of him.
Sliding.
Yes.
How did you like the stadium, by the way? It looks pretty good. I heard it's pretty good.
Bandbox, but very nice. I thought it was really cool. I love the town, like a baseball town.
Yeah, Cincy's cool.
Yeah, so it was nice. But Pete Rose there, the statue, whatever. So I'm into Pete Rose. I just have been as a kid, historically, whatever it may be. I do believe Pete Rose should be banned for life from baseball. I don't think you could ever justify betting on the games.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Pete Rose has lacked human decency and accountability and it just has not learned in 40 years since his, you know, since his suspension.
Yeah.
Never took accountability. All right, lying is one thing, but when you then admit it, just admit it and show some remorse. He's not remorseful. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. And there was even some worse stuff about it. So I believe he should be banned for life from baseball. However, I'd like to see his name on the ballot. Rob Manfred even said it.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame should be separate. Put him on the ballot and see if writers would vote him in and leave it up to them.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I think Pete's a jerk. I really do. I think he is a selfish, conniving, hustling, lying jerk.
Unaware, like he thinks.
He thinks he's above.
Everything. Did you feel that before this?
I've interviewed Pete.
Okay.
I've actually personally multiple times.
And was he a jerk then or no?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't just say that if I didn't have some sort of experience.
He's Pete Rose. Yeah. He's Pete Rose, and he's let the public support and the fans that love him and worship the ground that he walks on, he's let that get to his head and thinks that he's above everything else.
I think that's a good way to frame it. You know, and the thing is, too, in the documentary, you know, multiple times he was given at least a roadmap to maybe saving himself, and he just can't help himself. And, you know, the comments about the, and there's other stuff with Pete, not just the gambling stuff.
The alleged
illicit affairs with underage girls. Right. Like, you're talking about some stuff that is just unforgivable.
And his answer is, well, it's 55 years ago,
babe.
Yeah.
That was the quote to a young,
a
female reporter in Philly when he went back to be a part of that 80 World Series team. Are you kidding me?
And then
55 years ago, babe.
So not only does
it doesn't matter what I did 55 years ago, if I raped somebody or if I had it doesn't matter?
Right.
Hey, what is wrong with you? How callous and obtuse are you?
How stupid
he's a jerk,
can you be?
Pete Rose.
And then his PR guy brought the woman back in to basically say, like, hey, Pete, apologize. He couldn't even do that.
I know.
Couldn't even do that. He goes, oh, what do you want? Okay, if I give you 100 balls, sign balls.
I know.
Okay. Are you... He's helpless, dude.
Yeah, he is.
People have tried to help him. Fans do love him, and what he did on the baseball field cannot be disputed. He's one of the great baseball players of all time. By the way, how about the Joe Morgan stuff? He was best friends with Joe Morgan.
Yeah,
Joe
I didn't
Morgan
know quite,
passes away.
Yeah,
and
he didn't show up.
Like, what, Joe Morgan, who vouched for you?
Yeah.
He's just a bad guy.
It's funny, and they even said this in I forget which episode, but the parallels between Pete and Ty Cobb are really more closely connected than you would think. Like, Ty Cobb was disliked by a lot of people, and so is Pete Rose. And there they are, 1-2 in the all-time hit list. I just think that Pete is, I know his dad was very competitive, and, you know, who you are is a direct connection to how you were brought up. And some people were brought up by alcoholics or child molesters and, you know, just reprehensible things that really do shape you. And, like, you know, Joe Torre. We were at Joe Torre's outing, and Joe Torre, years of therapy. And Joe has not allowed that to change, to alter his, like, make him a dark person. If anything, it's enlightened him, and he's done so much good for so many people. I don't know exactly what it was like in Pete's home, but there are a lot of people who were able to rise above some really unfortunate circumstances, if that's applicable to him. That doesn't give you a license to go around and act like a jerk for the rest of your life. Like, he just shows no remorse, no awareness.
Oh, my God.
And really, when I was around him, it was a turnoff, man. I couldn't wait to interview him. I was young.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to do it. And all he wanted to do was, this was before he came on the air. I'll take it behind the curtain for a second. Yeah. All he cared about was games that he bet. It was game one of the Subway Series. All right, Yankees, Mets.
In 2000, the World Series?
I'm working in Las Vegas, and I'm doing my old show. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting going in the business. I'm at the Mandalay Bay in the sports book, which was awesome at that age. I mean, it was the middle of God almighty. And I see Pete, and I'm like, hey, my producer, go get Pete on the phone, blah, blah, blah. And his people came over, and they're like, and they said, listen, nothing about gambling. I said, I promise. Right. I promise. I said, we've been down this road. I said, he's Pete. I want to talk baseball. Right. It's the World Series. Right. I promise you I will respect that. I will not take his knees out. You have my word. So he's like, okay. They trusted me, and I wasn't going to go against that trust, and I stood by it. But he comes in to the studio in the sports book, and he actually opened up. He asked me 10 games, like, because it's still college football season, World Series game one. He goes, what did TCU do today? What did San Diego State?
This is off the air. Off the air, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. And at first, like, you know, I'm young. I'm in the presence of
Pete Rose,
And by the fifth one, I'm like, look it up. I actually gave him my computer. I'm like, here you go. Like, and then, trust me, a true story. And then, like, when the interview started, we just talked baseball. And it was an honor to talk to him. And he, like, snapped in, and he was Pete Rose, and he talked baseball. But, like, he is an abrasive guy who is a jerk a lot.
You think
that's just the end of the day?
Quickly, before we get to the calls, yes or no, Hall of Fame? Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
I would be okay with him getting in, but it's never going to happen while he's alive.
Oh, that's even worse. Natural Body Steve is in Howard Beach. What's up, Steve?
Real quick, sports are the same information, and availability to it is more abundant. Secondly, every NFL fan should immerse themselves in understanding the salary cap. That'll give them a better expectation of what to expect from their team in the season. And number three, Sal, you said before, Jet fans should be okay with a 10-7 season and a playoff appearance. That is absolutely insane.
If
you're a Jet fan, you did in the beginning of the show, I promise. If you're a Jet fan, it's Super Bowl or bust. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have many years left, and this is arguably top defense in the league, and possibly the top offense in the league when they come together. So Jet fans have to expect the Super Bowl.
And thanks for the call, Steve. I did not say that. I did not say Jet fans should be happy with a 10-7 season.
I think you said you can see them maybe going 10-7.
Yeah.
You didn't set that as what should be, you know, that's what you're striving for.
No, I think they should be expecting a division win for starters.
Yes.
And then go do some damage in the postseason. That should be the expectation.
I think the Jets fans should be expecting, or, you know, hoping slash expecting, 12-ish wins in that neighborhood, you know, and winning the division and being one of the top two seeds in the AFC. Like, at least, again, on paper, going in, all the check marks that they have as assets. Does it go that way? Who the heck knows? But, I mean, that's what you're shooting for on paper.
Anthony's in Staten Island. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant. Wow, Ant, let's go, bud.
Okay, Trevor's in Connecticut. No. What's up, Trevor?
The hell?
What's going on here?
Come on.
Ray is in Waterbury. Ray, we got them all in at least. Ray,
hi guys, great show as usual.
Thanks,
you know,
Ray.
Sal, you're about the Mets. You're right. On your show earlier in the week before the trade deadline, you asked Billy Epler, "What do you look at before you decide how deep you want to go into the trade market?" He says one of it is your schedule, and I agree with you, Sal. I think they looked at this road trip and they got scared that they might not survive it.
Scared of the
and
Angels?
They needed a. Well, you got the Angels, you got Seattle. It's a lengthy road trip.
It is weird coming back, and thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate you taking the time to get in. I got to be sure because we're about to wrap up here. It's a unique road trip in that they go to California, come back to St. Louis, go back then to Colorado, then back to...
Yeah.
Like, they're all over the freaking place.
You're playing the Angels, you're playing the Rockies. You're afraid of that. You got no business even being in the conversation for a wild card.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Me neither.
I think... Here's what I think happened. I think David Stearns doesn't fully believe in this team. And while he probably would have preferred to sell because it would have stuck to the plan, maybe expedited the plan, the team gave him no choice but to try to go for it. So he did the best he could to halfway it. That's what I think.
And that's why I give him a pretty decent grade, because they are marginally better in certain spots where they needed to get. And they didn't compromise the future. Got a puncher. Now, again, I think they fall a little short, but...
Right.
I think he straddled a pretty delicate fence. I don't think that's an easy, you know, that's an easy read.
I would have respected a pivot to sell in a seller's market even more. All right, BT and Sal, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to finish up strong on a Friday. Thanks to everybody who called and everybody who listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. We'll get into Pete Rose. Speaking of one of a kind, I can't wait to talk about this with you. We've both now seen all the episodes. I've been waiting to talk about this with you. We'll do it when we come back.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We're going to finish up strong here on the phones. I want to get them all in if we can. Real quick, BT. I watched that Pete Rose documentary on HBO. It's a four-part series. You know, each episode's about an hour. I was fascinated by it. I loved going back in the history of it. You know, the Pete starting his career, homegrown kid, Cincinnati, leaving to go to Philadelphia. But the bottom line is, and people want to know, you know, or people have their opinion, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Should he be banned from baseball for life? I will say... I do, and I did notice you have a little cameo in the fourth episode there. It was funny. You and Tiki were in there, which was pretty cool. I love Pete Rose, the player. Matter of fact, I went to Cincinnati, my first trip there. I took my wife, one of her first trips after we got, it might have been before we got married. Went to Cincinnati. I wanted to see that ballpark. I went on Pete Rose Day where they unveiled the statue of him.
Sliding.
Yes.
How did you like the stadium, by the way? It looks pretty good.
I like it. Yeah, it's very nice. Bandbox, but very nice. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I love the town, like a baseball town.
Yeah, Cincy's cool.
Yeah, so it was nice. But Pete Rose is there, the statue, whatever. So I'm into Pete Rose. I just have been as a kid, historically, whatever it may be. I do believe Pete Rose should be banned for life from baseball. I don't think you could ever justify betting on the games. I also think Pete Rose has lacked human decency and accountability and it just has not learned in 40 years since his, you know, since his suspension.
Yeah.
Never took accountability. All right, lying is one thing, but when you then admit it, just admit it and show some remorse. He's not remorseful. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. And there was even some worse stuff about it. So I believe he should be banned for life from baseball. However, I'd like to see his name on the ballot. Rob Manfred even said it.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame should be separate. Put him on the ballot and see if writers would vote him in and leave it up to them.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I think Pete's a jerk. I really do. I think he is a selfish, conniving, hustling, lying jerk.
Unaware, like he thinks.
Everything.
Did you feel that before this?
I've interviewed Pete.
Okay.
I've actually personally multiple times.
And was he a jerk then or no?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't just say that if I didn't have some sort of experience.
He's Pete Rose. Yeah. He's Pete Rose, and he's let the public support and the fans that love him and worship the ground that he walks on, he's let that get to his head and thinks that he's above everything else.
I think that's a good way to frame it. You know, and the thing is, too, in the documentary, you know, multiple times he was given at least a roadmap to maybe saving himself, and he just can't help himself. And, you know, the comments about the and there's other stuff with Pete, not just the gambling stuff.
The alleged
illicit affairs with underage girls. Right. Like, you're talking about some stuff that is just unforgivable.
And his answer is, well, it's 55 years ago,
babe.
Yeah.
That was the quote to a young, a female reporter in Philly when he went back to be a part of that 80 World Series team. Are you kidding me?
And then how
55 years ago, babe.
So not only does
so
he say
it doesn't matter what I did 55 years ago, if I raped somebody or if I had it doesn't matter?
Right.
Hey, what is wrong with you? How callous and obtuse are you?
How stupid
he's a jerk,
can you be?
Pete Rose.
And then his PR guy brought the woman back in to basically say, like, hey, Pete, apologize. He couldn't even do that.
I know.
He goes, oh, what do you want? Okay, if I give you 100 balls, sign balls.
I know.
Okay. Are you... He's helpless, dude.
Yeah, he is.
People have tried to help him. Fans do love him. And what he did on the baseball field cannot be disputed. He's one of the great baseball players of all time. By the way, how about the Joe Morgan stuff? He was best friends with Joe Morgan.
Yeah,
Joe
I didn't
Morgan
know quite,
passes away.
Yeah.
And
he didn't show up.
Like, watch Joe Morgan who vouched for you.
Yeah.
He's just a bad guy.
It's funny, and they even said this in I forget which episode, but the parallels between Pete and Ty Cobb are really more closely connected than you would think. Like, Ty Cobb was disliked by a lot of people, and so is Pete Rose. And there they are, 1-2 in the all-time hit list. I just think that Pete is, I know his dad was very competitive, and, you know, who you are is a direct connection to how you were brought up. And some people were brought up by alcoholics or child molesters and, you know, just reprehensible things that really do shape you. And, like, you know, Joe Torre. We were at Joe Torre's outing, and Joe Torre, years of therapy. And Joe has not allowed that to change, to alter his, like, make him a dark person. If anything, it's enlightened him, and he's done so much good for so many people. I don't know exactly what it was like in Pete's home, but there are a lot of people who were able to rise above some really unfortunate circumstances, if that's applicable to him. That doesn't give you a license to go around and act like a jerk for the rest of your life. Like, he just shows no remorse, no awareness.
Oh, my God.
And really, when I was around him, it was a turnoff, man. I couldn't wait to interview him. I was young.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to do it. And all he wanted to do was, this was before he came on the air, I'll take it behind the curtain for a second. Yeah. All he cared about was games that he bet. It was game one of the Subway Series. All right? Yankees, Mets.
In 2000, the World Series?
I'm working in Las Vegas, and I'm doing my old show. Mm-hmm. I'm just getting going in the business. I'm at the Mandalay Bay in the sports book, which was awesome at that age. I mean, it was the middle of God almighty. And I see Pete. And I'm like, hey, my producer, go get Pete on the phone, blah, blah, blah. And his people came over, and they're like, and they said, listen, nothing about gambling. I said, I promise. Right. I promise. I said, we've been down this road. I said, he's Pete. I want to talk baseball. Right. It's the World Series. Right. I promise you I will respect that. I will not take his knees out. You have my word. So he's like, okay. They trusted me, and I wasn't going to go against that trust, and I stood by it. But he comes in to the studio in the sports book, and he actually opened up. He asked me 10 games, like, because it's still college football season, World Series game one. He goes, what did TCU do today? What did San Diego State?
This is off the air. Off the air, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. And at first, like, you know, I'm young. I'm in the presence of
Pete Rose,
And by the fifth one, I'm like, look it up. I actually gave him my computer. I'm like, here you go. Like, and then, trust me, a true story. And then, like, when the interview started, we just talked baseball. And it was an honor to talk to him. And he, like, snapped in, and he was Pete Rose, and he talked baseball. But, like, he is an abrasive guy who is a jerk a lot.
You think
that's just the end of the day?
Quickly, before we get to the calls, yes or no, Hall of Fame? Should he be in the Hall of Fame?
I would be okay with him getting in, but it's never going to happen while he's alive.
Oh, that's even worse. Natural Body Steve is in Howard Beach. What's up, Steve?
Real quick, sports are the same information and availability to it is more abundant. Secondly, every NFL fan should immerse themselves in understanding the salary cap. That'll give them a better expectation of what to expect from their team in the season. And number three, Sal, you said before, Jet fans should be okay with a 10-7 season and a playoff appearance. That is absolutely insane.
I didn't say that.
If you're a Jet fan, you did in the beginning of the show, I promise. If you're a Jet fan, it's Super Bowl or bust. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have many years left, and this is arguably top defense in the league and possibly the top offense in the league when they come together. So Jet fans have to expect the Super Bowl.
And thanks for the call, Steve. I did not say that. I did not say Jet fans should be happy with a 10-7 season.
I think you said you can see them maybe going 10-7.
Yeah.
You didn't set that as what should be, you know, that's what you're striving for.
No, I think they should be expecting a division win for starters.
Yes.
And then go do some damage in the postseason. That should be the expectation.
I think the Jets fans should be expecting or, you know, hoping slash expecting. 12-ish wins in that neighborhood, you know, and winning the division and being one of the top two seeds in the AFC. Like, at least, again, on paper, going in, all the check marks that they have as assets. Does it go that way? Who the heck knows? But, I mean, that's what you're shooting for on paper.
Anthony's in Staten Island. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant. Wow, Ant, let's go, bud.
Okay, Trevor's in Connecticut. No. What's up, Trevor?
The hell?
What's going on here?
Come on.
Ray is in Waterbury. Ray, we got them all in at least. Ray,
hi guys, great show as usual.
Thanks,
you know,
Ray.
Sal, you're about to mention you're right on your show earlier in the week before the trade deadline. You asked Billy Epler, "What do you look at before you decide how deep you want to go into the trade market?" He says one of it is your schedule, and I agree with you, Sal. I think they looked at this road trip and they got scared that they might not survive it.
Scared of the
and
Angels?
They needed a. Well, you got the Angels, you got Seattle. It's a lengthy road trip.
It is weird coming back, and thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate taking the time to get in. I got to be sure because we're about to wrap up here. It's a unique road trip in that they go to California, come back to St. Louis, go back then to Colorado, then back to...
Yeah.
Like, they're all over the freaking place.
You're playing the Angels, you're playing the Rockies. You're afraid of that. You got no business even being in the conversation for a wild card.
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
Me neither.
I think... Here's what I think happened. I think David Stearns doesn't fully believe in this team. And while he probably would have preferred to sell because it would have stuck to the plan, maybe expedited the plan, the team gave him no choice but to try to go for it. So he did the best he could to halfway it. That's what I think.
And that's why I give him a pretty decent grade, because they are marginally better in certain spots where they needed to get. And they didn't compromise the future. Got a puncher. Now, again, I think they fall a little short, but...
Right.
I think he straddled a pretty delicate fence. I don't think that's an easy, you know, that's an easy read.
I would have respected a pivot to sell in a seller's market even more. All right, BT and Sal, that does it for us. We'll be back again tomorrow, 10 a.m. to finish up strong on a Friday. Thanks to everybody who called and everybody who listened. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.